Welcome to the Start Empire Wire Founders Podcast, where we make entrepreneurial founders a top priority. Each episode features risk takers, business builders, community shapers, institutional and government supporters in our local startup ecosystem. Tune in weekly to hear all about what's happening with the movers and the shakers of Southern California's Inland Empire and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of the Founders Podcast. Today we are with Rachel Medina, who is the CEO of RM101 Media Group and the Rachel Unpacked Podcast, which is number 4 in the nation for women who want to start a business from home. She has several other podcasts, and she's just very accomplished. So we want Rachel to tell us a little bit about first where she grew up at, and then we're going to go into some of these accomplishments. So who are you as a person? Who are you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming.
And honored, and hello to everybody that's watching. So yeah, I'm Rachel Medina, CEO of the of RM101 Media Group and the host of the Rachel Podcast. I am from Southern California. I've been here my entire life.
Nice.
Born in Torrance, California, out there in LA County, and have been living in Corona for almost 30 years now.
Man, I didn't know all of the great people we had here in Corona or in the Inland Empire until I started doing this, because I mean, like, I just met you through Janina. And I mean, that would never have happened. I mean, it may have happened. It would have been bound to happen, maybe. Yeah. But I'm glad it happened this way. So,
you know, it's amazing when you have women and people in the community like Janina who don't gatekeep, right? They meet people and they go, oh, you know what? You should connect with this person.
And I love it.
Janina didn't tell me really about you. She spoke to my right hand girl, Deneen.
Uh-huh.
I was like, we got to get Rachel and him, you know, figuring something out for the show. So I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you know, you're at a co-working space right now in Corona. What is this space called again?
It's called Tailored Spaces.
Tailored Spaces. Mm-hmm. Beautiful place. And like, look at that view. I mean, like hot.
Amazing.
I told her this was a CEO view. So she's got to tell us, Rachel, tell us about, you know, your upbringing, and how did you come to want to be an entrepreneur?
So I love that you're starting with that question, because there is this thing where I say there is no such thing as self-made, and this whole like I did it by myself, and that's kind of like a whole other narrative. But I grew up with parents who, my father was an immigrant from Mexico.
Yes.
And he came here with the whole American dream thing, eventually was like a laborer who became an entrepreneur.
Wow.
And then my mother, you know, obviously my mother was a Mexican American, so she was born here already. And you know, educated woman who was in banking. And I grew up seeing my mom, you know, rise up in the corporate ladder, you know, and be very respected at her job. And so as a young girl, as a little girl, you get to see people who look like you making moves, and it doesn't seem out of the ordinary. I didn't have a concept of like, this is special or unique or different.
Nice.
In any way. Yeah.
So this was like a norm, and that's a great way to put it, because when you have that example in front of your face of your parents who are doing this, and I just keep coming across entrepreneurs whose their parents were, you know, entrepreneurs. Yeah. You know, they were out there in the marketplace trying to make it happen. So yeah. as you grew up and saw that example, you know, what were some of the steps that led you to where you are today?
I think you've been watching, you know, them, you know, sort of step forward into whatever their purpose was or whatever pulled them, you know. I also got to see the downfalls of certain things. And as I got older, I actually tell a story on my website, rachelmedina.com, about the day that my dad, he was mowing the lawn. He had just bought this house and they got to see it be constructed, brand new construction, you know? So yes. It was like their dream come true. And he's mowing his lawn and this Mercedes pulls up. And it was, you know, an American couple. And they were like, excuse me, sir, how much you charge to mow
That's
your
awesome.
Lawn? And he looked at them and he says, for these guys, nothing, because I own the house. But for you guys, $500, let's do it.
Oh.
And so they drove away. And he looked at
awesome.
And he goes, you see that? He's all, it's okay. In other words, there's no reason to be offended. It is
yes.
what it is. Like, and so I just got to see them navigate
nice.
Life that way. And it just made me feel like anything was possible. Like I could do anything.
Man, that's a cool story. So, I mean, like, I guess they weren't expecting the price either as well, right? And,
yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, like that's a really good example of market dynamics. It's that, you know, you sometimes when you get the higher price clients, you know, then they're not as probably going to be as demanding. That's what I've experienced,
also,
you know.
And also, he was saying $500 to mow their lawn to be sarcastic.
Like, to be sarcastic. Ah.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't mow lawns for a living. But hey, for $500, I'll mow it. Sure.
I love it. Oh, to weed it out. Yeah. No. Absolutely. No. And that's a good technique. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so the three podcasts are how many? There are three or four podcasts.
There's two podcasts.
Two?
There's
okay.
two podcasts. So
okay.
there's the Rachel Unpacked podcast is specifically, it was my very first podcast, and that it's on season four today.
Season four.
And that is for women who want to start a business. That is where I wanted to share my entrepreneurial journey that I had been on. At that point, my claim to fame was essentially that I was this like divorced woman over 40 who launched a seven-figure business, and I did it all from home with my
son. Yes. Yes.
And so I did a podcast to essentially start to unpack that journey.
Oh, wow. Yes. Love it.
Because I recognized that watching my parents go through their journey gave me sort of wings and courage and everything. And so then if women could hear my journey and hear the good and the bad, by the way, because I made all the mistakes an entrepreneur can make,
yeah.
and there's lessons in that. And so it took off. I had zero expectations of what it was going to do, and it took off. And so then that then led during a pandemic, by the way, that came about. My friend Delia, she says to me, you know, you're doing so good with your show and everything. What if we, and her and I are really good friends, over 12 years, and everything we talk about is like our divorce journey and like how we navigate that.
Yeah.
And so she's like, what if we did a show where people could like hear us talk about this stuff? And so then the show You Deserve Fresh Lettuce was essentially born. Yeah.
And that has taken off as well too.
So that's a newer show. We're mm-hmm. still developing season two. We're in the middle of season two right now. And you can check that out. But
awesome.
With that one, we're gaining traction in different countries. So it's
wow.
really interesting to see the different countries pop up. And we're
yes.
like, oh, so cool. Yeah.
So how do you, I mean, this is just a little side question. How do you like doing seasonal versus episodic podcasts? I mean, because I know there's a difference.
There is a difference. And I had to really think about that for my own show, for the Rachel Unpacked podcast, because I also was running a company. So I didn't want to
oh, yes.
be bogged down with it's a business podcasting, you know?
Right, right.
And so I wanted to treat it as such and respect it as such. So I really tapped into batching. And
okay.
what I realized is if I can just batch a bunch of episodes and then put them together and go,
that's
right,
so smart.
Season one. This
yeah.
is season one. And they go, by the way, they go out like every week, or my show does every other week. And
yeah.
then they're just scheduled and I don't have
that's
to worry.
That's true. That's true. That's a benefit.
Delia, yeah. And then with Delia, it's the same thing. I said to her, we're not going to be able to meet every week. We're like way too busy. Let's
mm-hmm.
just knock it out in like a week's time. We'll just record, schedule them, and then that's it. They just run.
The Inland Empire startup ecosystem industry is tremendously fragmented. A few top-tier hubs, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, are well covered by media, events, and data platforms. Finding reliable information relevant to startups or the tech industry in the Inland Empire is extremely difficult. As a result, startups can't scale fast enough. Investors are having a hard time finding the right deals, and corporates can't find the right companies to partner with for their innovation activities. Start Empire Wire, the leading Inland Empire startup publication, is providing the Inland Empire startup ecosystem with the most accurate, engaging business and financial data, events, and news. Our reach of entrepreneurs, C-level executives, angels, VC investors, startup employees, key management at innovative corporates, and big tech is the solution for your B2B or B2C needs. As we build out our platform, we're looking for partners. This is your opportunity to get in on the ground level. If you're looking to align yourself with the local and growing startup and tech ecosystem of the Inland Empire, we have created the platform to get your name noticed and the opportunity for you to grow the recognition of your brand. Contact us today for availability and pricing options. We look forward to our partnership with you. So I asked you that. Also, one other clarifying question. How many episodes do you add per season normally?
Typically? So every show is different. And I actually reached out to a few people that had their shows and theirs were completely different. So for the Rachel Impact podcast, I'm like averaging about 28 to 32 episodes per season. And with Users of Fresh Lettuce, it's weekly. And it runs all the way through until like the end of October. So there's like 50 episodes. We have some bonus episodes. So we'll be at like 45 episodes for sure per season. So first season was 45. Second season will be about 45.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So make sure you guys tune into both of those. You Deserve Fresh Lettuce and the Rachel Unpacked. Next question I guess we kind of added. We went over, you know, what audiences you talk to in your podcast. You're going to be a part of an event coming up really soon. What is that?
It's the 11th annual Riverside County Women's Leadership Conference taking place here in Corona,
California.
I'm very excited. I'll be a keynote on stage for that event.
That's going to be awesome. Awesome. So tell us about the growth of the podcast itself. You started episode zero and did you plan it out and batch it initially, or did you, go episodic in the beginning? Yeah. How did you go in the beginning?
In the beginning was rough because it was a solo cast. I didn't have any guests or anything. I still don't. We're evolving because we get so many requests now from women in business wanting to be on the show.
Right.
Similar to what you're doing.
Yes.
And so it was difficult to just get comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, when you're going to create content, one of the hardest things, and it comes up all the time when I'm like coaching women and stuff like that.
Yes.
They know they got to do the post. They know they got to do the thing. But it's like you're doing it. You're failing forward in front of everybody that knows you.
So right.
Right? So here I am sitting like in my podcast chair in my house, you know, and it's decorated, but it's like the mic and then I say all the time and then
yes.
I my hair. So it's super, I always say, you know, women, we're unpacking, you know, I'm unpacking my story one flawed podcast at a time. So it was difficult to just be talking by myself for like a half hour.
Wow, this is good. Yes.
You know, and it was very uncomfortable. And then I had to sit there going, well, what am I going to talk about? And so what was beautiful about the journey for the Rachel Unpacked podcast was it really made me look back on my journey and it really helped me to identify the real gems, the pivotal in my success or the
moments
that I messed up.
Wow. It's so good.
And so that's where the topics came from. But originally, the first like 5, 6, 7 episodes, I'm explaining a little bit of my divorce journey so that in 10 years, women can look back and go, I have no excuse because she was going through this situation.
Right.
When, like, this happened.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You know, that's really, I mean, what that illustrates to me is like a growth journey as well. That illustrates the growth journey. I think we don't look at it, you know, as the growth journey, but when you get to reflect, you can go watch the previous podcast that you did, and you can be like,
so
I could have changed that. But it's really that's a real cool thing to look at. So what are some of the growing pains, not only in your podcast, but in your business? Because I know you do the podcasting, you do consulting. Tell us, what are the other business models that are kind of packed into what you're doing?
So the catalyst to this whole thing was the fact that I did build a business from home. I have been in media for almost 25 years.
Okay.
I was a magazine publisher. I did everything from like the whole Devil Wears Prada scenario
to like
a regular home improvement magazine that you get into, you know, your home.
Right.
And I ended up parting ways with an employer. I was a publisher for five of their magazines, and it was a nightmare situation. I was fresh off my divorce. I'm fresh on the single mom thing of teenage boys.
Teenage boys.
Teenage boys. That's so different than like, I'm a boy now. And you know, it's like Jesus take the wheel all day, every day. And then being a magazine publisher is it's a very high demand, high level position, which is it requires a lot of time in. And so I'm doing this job and I'm recognizing that it was a very toxic environment. I already had enough pressure on me. So when I parted ways with that publishing company, I'm in Corona, so having to drive to Irvine or drive to LA, like the gridlock of it all.
Yeah.
So I sat there unemployed at that point, just moved into this like bigger house, just bought the Benz, and I'm like, single.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, Rachel, you have helped so many people make millions of dollars. Like, you can figure this out.
Yes.
You can figure it out.
Yes.
And within 48 hours, I had a sell sheet.
What?
Within like 72 hours, I had my first $1,000 client.
Come on.
And this was like in the magazine business. I was starting a magazine.
Right, right.
And then brought on some people, whatever. And then a year later, my right-hand girl, Deneen San Pedro, she looked and she goes, have you seen the reports? Have you seen? I'm like, I am not looking. And it was almost 2 million.
Wow.
And this is, by the way, sales, what? Ladies and gentlemen. Having a seven-figure business is different than being a seven-figure earner.
Yeah.
True.
But so you were starting this magazine, and this was your magazine startup, right, at the moment?
Yes.
And how long was this? What was the timeline of getting to that point for you?
So it was about 48 hours from like losing my job, so to speak, and 72 hours between from when I had my first paying client.
Dang.
$1,000. And
yeah.
I took that $1,000 and went and got my license. You know, you got to get your LLC.
Right.
You
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And I built a business from that $1,000. Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. Okay. So you started building the magazine business, and then what was the transition to where you are today?
So growing that business was an absolute blessing. I had never personally seen those kind of numbers. I've always been a six-figure earner, as the high-level executive or salesperson for advertising. But this was different, right? This was like, this is. So there takes some expansion of your mind, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone sits there saying, if I became a millionaire, I would do this. Or if I had $1 million, I would do that. When I tell you that until you see that number in your account, it's going to drudge up all kinds of weird things.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And really, one of them is, who do you turn to for advice on what to do with the money, or how do you,
right.
Like, I'm a Mexican American.
Mm-hmm.
No one in my family that I was ever aware of had ever done something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, how do you go around the family going, hey guys, I have $1 million. Like, what do I do? Like, they don't want to brag.
Right. You know? Right. But that's what does Grant Cardone say? I know you know him. He says you know the 10x problems, right? That's a good problem to have.
Exactly. So I had to go through this journey of mentally accepting that money was real. I literally told my tax lady, who screamed when she thought, because she's known me since I was 23, and then I said, it's not real. And the reason I kept doing that was because I think deep down in my heart, it wasn't a business that I loved, you know? It was like, I started it because I was a single mom, now unemployed, and I had to figure it out.
Necessity
to not sit on the 91 freeway.
yes.
And so that was a journey. But I'll add, I took a trip with my sons to Europe. Money does afford you opportunities and different things like that. It elevates your quality of life in that way. We took a trip thanks to my mom, who was like, you need to travel. You need to do something.
Yes.
And travel.
I know.
Something. I did. Listen, I have the same car I bought, but I was like stuck in my mind. It was a mental.
No, trip. But you needed that trip then, though. You know what I mean? So, and how was it? What happened on the trip?
So we take a trip to Europe, and obviously, if anyone's been to Europe and Italy, there's like 1,001 churches.
Oh yeah.
And so we went into every one because, you know, this architecture is like,
it's beautiful. Yeah.
So in doing that though, it really got me like grounded and connected, and I really like kind of surrendered and was like, I'm going to be honest, God, like, I'm so grateful. And I feel like a spoiled brat that you handed me this bag. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting there going like, but I wanted the blue one, not the blue one, you know, or whatever. And so I had to really contend with this feeling of selfishness that I was going to find a way to walk away from that business and serve others.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
I just didn't know how. I didn't know what that looked like.
Right.
And as the Rachel Unpack podcast took off, and then the pandemic hit.
Yes.
I started getting calls and DMs from women everywhere going, I listen to your show, or I see you on Instagram. Can I book you for an hour?
How cool. Wow.
So the pathway to then CEO showed up.
Yes. Ah, okay. So that really, it transitions. It makes sense now. So, all right. So tell us about the CEO podcast and some of the growing pains. Like, what have been those growing pains that you've had, you know, while you're growing it?
So CEO is actually a community. It's an online community for women, where women can come and gather all the we've already gathered the resources and the tools and everything that has to do with business, so they can log on and they can go explore their options, and then they can access resources and they can connect with gurus. They can even access myself, my team, if they get stuck along the way. And so it's like an incubator for entrepreneurial women.
Okay, so I got that a little bit confused. I said the CEO podcast. Yeah, so this is your online community. Tell us a little bit. Okay, so did that CEO idea originate on that trip? That's where you're saying that that's where that online community idea originated?
On the trip, I realized that I needed to have the faith to break away, that I needed to follow my instincts of leaving the business that I was doing just for money, so to speak.
Right.
And that I could lean into purpose.
Purpose. Yes.
And helping others, and that the rest will come. It's like that faith and that trust.
Yes.
And so I didn't have the name yet, but I knew. I knew. I went registered RM101 Media Group. I talked to my team.
Yes.
And I talked to my sons, and I said, I think I need to make a shift. We unlocked the code. We cracked the code on how to make money.
Right.
And how to build a brand. Now let's just shift it into something we all feel great about.
Right. Right. So that, you know, that's actually really powerful. What is the place? Now, you talked about the CEO community, but it's, how do they access that? How do they get to that place? What's the URL or the domain name or something like that?
So you can go to CEO.com, and you can spell it any way you want. We own all the versions of the domain, but
you mean with the seven O's and everything?
Yes. And so let's talk about the seven O's. So when I started to formulate, what is it? I understood that it's not like RM101 team. Like,
right.
I understood that it's not the Rachel Unpack thing. Like, and I wanted to make sure that whatever was built, the community that was built for the women, that it was separate from me. Although I'm an ambassador, and I'm the original CEO, so to speak.
Right.
I'm not like the face necessarily, and I didn't want it to be tied to me.
Yes.
There's lots of women that can be inspired by each other.
And right.
I wanted it to be like an ecosystem of that. But I also understood, like Grant Cardone with the 10X movement.
Uh-huh.
I understood that, you know, Lady Gaga has her little Monstars.
That's true.
To name the community, there has to be a name, like a badge of honor, like something that they go, I'm a part of this.
Yes.
I'm a part of this thing.
This group. Yeah.
So I kept going, what is this? And I remember years ago, these things coming out that were like CEO, and it was spelled like CEO, .000, .000.
Yes.
And I remember being like in love with it. And I thought, oh, CEO, like $100 million women. Let's go. Like money making women.
That's CEO. That's a really catchy, it's so catchy. It's a cool thing, it's a cool name. So, you know, kudos on that. That was inspiration. That was huge inspiration. So, I love the way that you mentioned building the brand separate from yourself, because you want it to be a separate entity and you want to build something that's bigger than you.
Yeah.
I love that idea, and I don't think a lot of people understand that concept in branding as well. So, but that's really powerful. So with the CEO community, is that in beta? Is it already public? I know you mentioned something to me prior on some calls, I think, or maybe it was in person. But I don't want to say everything, but I'll just let you disclose what are the interests and you know what's the trajectory of what you're doing with that.
So I love that you're with the Rachel Impact podcast, which has its audience that is like phenomenal. I will say it's easy. It's been easier because I make mentions, and then with those mentions, people essentially hit the DMs and hit the email forms, and so there's like an amazing interest list. We have about 500 women right now, sort of waitlisted.
Wow.
So it is in beta in a sense. We're doing a soft launch this summer, so it's actually live.
Well,
but we've hand selected some beta testers to come in,
look
around, and give us the feedback. And we're very proud of it already. I finally looked at the mobile and with music, and I was like, oh, and I got it, all the feels.
Oh man, that's freaking awesome. I think I want to beta test it. Even though I can't, I'll never be a CEO, I'll be a CEO. I think I'm gonna start a brand called CEO.
So we're like very excited, and we understand. Listen, I have a motto that I always say: done is better than perfect. So we also understand that it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be ever evolving and ever shifting and changing.
Right.
We have to also listen to the community.
So yes.
Really, when we think about how did we know what to put in it, I will tell you, with the Rachel Impact podcast driving all that audience attention and the lovely power of TikTok, which is here.
Okay.
I went
to TikTok. That's true.
Yeah. I went to TikTok and was like, hey, there's this thing, or hey, blah, blah, blah. And when I tell you, the flood coming out of women. And I went, okay. So I was doing it, by the way, as like
a course, awesome.
Because I have been kind of coaching women one-on-one. And I thought maybe I should do a micro course of just telling them what's available to them.
Yes, yeah.
So I start kind of promoting this course kind of, and I realize they don't need a course. They need support. They need support.
Yeah.
Because they can pay for the course, and then what are they going to do? The dog is going to run in and crap in the corner. Excuse me.
No, it's okay.
The kid, the baby's throwing up, the husband's calling. There's chaos in a woman's life, by the way.
Right.
And then still she has this dream, this little bulb. that's flickering. And there comes a time where the woman thinks, maybe I'm never going to realize. Selling her a course gives her the illusion that she can, but unless there's an actual tribe and support system,
that community of support,
and the ongoing tool to help her win.
That's so true. I mean, and we advance, I run, you know, I say this with some of the people that I work with. I say, you know, I run faster with a person beside me, because there's that essence of kind of competition, you know, competition and camaraderie. It's camaraderie. And I think they both, you know, camaraderie is friendly competition in my mind, you know, it's friendly kind of egging each other on, iron sharpening iron. And so that's powerful the way, you know, that now you're building this huge community. It's going to be an online community. You're beta testing the app. And little did we know, we're not talking to a podcaster only. We're talking to the CEO of a tech company right here. So I love it. So what features that are you willing to disclose at this moment that are part of the community?
So I love that you mentioned the tech word.
And yes,
I'm going to throw that in there, is because I have dealt with really high level people throughout all of areas of business, and a couple of them are VCs, and they're very dialed into the tech industry. And one of them I did a Zoom call with him two and a half weeks ago, and I said, I need you to look under the hood, and I need you to tell me, am I in tech? I had to ask the question.
Wow.
Am I now entering tech? And he looked, and he was watching, and he was, okay, touch this, scroll there, go there. And we went through, and he went, wow. Like, he just went, all right, you're onto something. And I go, but is it tech? Like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, oh, you know.
Yes.
And he said, well, if you lean in on this area here, like, welcome to tech. And I was like, okay,
yes.
What I'll say about that.
That's freaking awesome. That's why I want to beta test it. If you'd allow me, I changed my name to Valicia or something. I'll put a picture of a lady.
The beauty of some of the features was really listening to the audience that existed with Rachel Impact, and then listening to the women that were coming in from TikTok and Pinterest and all different places, my Instagram, which is at Rachel Medina 101, if you guys want to follow across the board, and just really listening. And when I would get these messages in the DMs, I started to learn, they don't need courses. Everybody and their mother's throwing courses at them.
Yes.
And by the way, there's our courses inside, okay? So the way we set it up is, if you look at, you know, even like Facebook groups, you join a Facebook group and then everyone's, you know, speaking the language and everything. So this is almost like a campus, a virtual campus kind of different Facebook groups, but they're not Facebook groups.
Oh.
When you log in, you get to create a profile with your photo and your LinkedIn or whatever link in bio stuff.
Just like Instagram.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so we're okay with women connecting and then expanding outside the community together. We're encouraging it.
Yes.
And then they get to choose what topics they want to follow.
Nice.
So they click the follow button on, like, let's just say print on demand, affiliate marketing.
Right.
Maybe it's something with Etsy. They can follow, and then they're gonna be notified, or they can jump in and they get to see, we vetted all the content. So we're saying, this is the guru you got to listen to.
Yes.
Look at this article. It's giving you, these are the 10 steps you need to take.
Right, right.
And we're coming from a place, by the way, of not just recycled information, of what we experienced on our journey building our Etsy shop, our e-com stores, our YouTube channels.
Wow. So experienced experts, and kind of a curated community of experts. Is that okay? That sounds
great. That's
sellable. I'm telling you, there's some things that, you know, if you talk to your VC friend, he probably recommended to have it become like VC scalable. and enabled that, you know, investment of venture capital. And there are venture capitalists who watch this podcast. There are VCs who watch this podcast. So just to know.
Hello.
So that's really cool. So tell us right now, what are the current needs? Where you're at in the current stage of the podcast, the platform? What are your current needs right now, and how are you trying to like kind of meet those needs? But if someone out there who could, you know, step in, what are those?
I think first and foremost with the platform, with the CEO platform and the CEO community, really giving permission to women. Anybody who's watching this, if you're a woman in business, you may have not had articles written about you. You may have not been featured on shows. You may view yourself as a whole nobody. Hmm. And one of my favorite things is I like to say, you know, we help women go from zero to CEO. And zero has a negative connotation, but it's because we're taking women that don't know where to start. We're taking them from zero to one. Mm, and then guiding them along the way. And
so you're using Peter.
Okay. So if you're a woman in business who's done really, I always say like an ordinary woman who's done extraordinary things, we want to hear from you because you are the hashtag gold of these women, by the way. Mm. It's not all the women that everybody already sees in media. It's not the Oprah Winfrey's of the world because they can't relate to that. It's the woman similar like my journey that here I am. I was just like a single mom and I was from home trying to make it work. So if you're a woman out here in the Inland Empire and you've done a really wonderful thing with like your tax business, or maybe you started like some painting company, I don't know, whatever it might be, that you took it from zero to like $100,000 and you're doing it and you did it, well, however you did it, we want to hear from you, not just because of the Rachel Impact podcast. We want to put you into the light with these women so that the women in the community can go, oh my God, it's possible. Because what my parents did for me to mold me to see what's possible, people everywhere, they don't have that. They're not sure what's possible.
That's true. And that's really good. I think that's very, very needed. And you're hitting a powerful lane here. So what are your short-term goals? Maybe two top short-term. Yeah.
It's so funny because I'm like so private. I'm like as public as I am. Like, you know?
Yes.
You know, short-term is like what's right in front of my face. It's like I'm doing this interview with you. Cool. I'm on a podcast. There's a publication that interviewed me yesterday, and then I'm going to be on stage next month. So short-term is like, how can I utilize whatever my story is to propel this forward, to get people talking about this?
Because
I don't want it to just be some big tech conversation. I want it to be very digestible.
Yes.
So that someone who says, I just have an idea, but I'm not really sure where to start, we can nurture you. We got you.
Very awesome. Yes.
And so that's number one, is just focusing on how can we get the word out in this way, in a very organic way, you know? And then number two, obviously, it's, you know, tapping the gurus, tapping the ordinary women doing extraordinary things. Mm. That's essentially the next thing.
Yes.
And really vetting those women, having conversations like you and I to go, okay, so what's the pain point of your story? And when I hear that, I go, I need the pain, because they're going to relate to that.
That's so true. It's so true. All right. What are your, we're going to long term right now, 3-year, 5-year, and 10-year goals? So take as much time as you need.
I'm going to actually keep it simpler than maybe what you expect. And the reason why is because I built that first business and I did it for money, because I really had this idea that you make the money and happiness comes. And, and you get the commas and the zeros and it solves everything. And so going into this, and I learned that that's not the case.
Right.
And so going into this business, I have zero expectation of the financials, which is really an odd place. I've run a lot of companies.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Right. For people in my career, I've often run teams like, I've run companies like sports. team, by the way, mm-hmm. everything by the numbers. The numbers
okay.
don't lie.
Yeah, yeah.
In this particular business, there has to be passion and compassion. And I just want to, and I know that if we stay true to that,
yes,
the money will come.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
And so I think for the long-term goal, it's really scale, not in terms, revenue will come. We're not even
right, right, right,
I,
right.
I believe that what I built before was a 7-figure business. I'm sitting on an 8-figure business, easy.
Yeah,
easy peasy.
Especially when you start leaning into the tech area and you're building like applications and stuff like that. Absolutely. Yes. Probably more than 8-figure. The way you do it.
Whenever you go into a business, and I tell people this, when you start a business, you have to, in the beginning, look at the end. Mm-hmm. And there's usually three routes, right? There's like, you start a business and you go, hey, I want this to be a legacy business that I hand down to my children.
Right.
That's one option. Number two is, I want to build it to sell it. And number three is, yes. Oh no, I want to, you know, so there's all these different things that you can do, right?
Uh-huh.
And so for me personally, I'm going into this and I, priority one, want to make sure that we lead with the mission of helping the women. If VCs step up and go, we'll give you $100 million, we'll take it if they understand.
If it stays on mission.
On mission.
Yeah, yeah, that makes that absolutely 100%. Yeah. So it's, you're striving to make that that impact. That's the biggest.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really, and there are specific investors that are called impact investors who will take an interest in that. Just look up impact investing, impact investors. They will take an interest in that.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. So that wraps up the 3, 5, and 10.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you a little fun tidbit.
Okay.
So if you sit there and you go, Rachel, really, you know, it has to be money too. Money, it is, right? But when
right.
I tell you with the impact side, we understand that as mothers, because like Zadine is on my team, she's a mom, she's built some businesses, I'm a mom, like all these things.
Yes.
We understand that we are now creating this incubator for the people that grow the humans.
Right.
But if we look at the people who grow the humans,
yeah,
and then nurture the humans.
Uh-huh.
This is an opportunity that we're creating to create education and awareness and support so that women can have a front row seat to their children's lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my mother worked a ton. I didn't have her in the kitchen cooking a pot of beans. I mean, she made food, and I love it.
Right.
But it wasn't that traditional, like, hey, honey, you're home.
Right, right, right.
And yet, being a corporate woman myself, I didn't really get to do that with my sons.
Yes.
And so this is an opportunity for women to learn how to be able to do that they can do it. And they can build a 6-7-figure business from home. Some women just want to make an extra $1,000 a month.
Okay. Yeah.
And we can help, we can guide them to that, and they can have a front row seat to their lot, to their children's lives.
Yes.
And we understand that when parents dare to dream,
yes,
and follow their dreams, the kids will, the trajectory of their lives completely change.
Yeah, that's powerful. That is so powerful. Okay.
So
10 years out.
How many lives have we impacted? Not just through the women, but their children as well.
Have you thought of a number? I know. I have like, 8 billion people on the planet. So, you know, you got a lot.
I mean, hey, listen. Clearly, 100 million is my favorite because she eats.
Right. Hey.
$100 million and 100 million.
That'd be huge.
Yeah.
All right, Rachel. So, this was such a great podcast. Can you tell us where people can find you online? What are your web properties?
If you go, the easiest thing to do is you can start on my social, go to Rachel Medina 101. That's why it's R101 Media Group, but Rachel Medina 101 on any of the platforms you'll find me, including LinkedIn. You can go to rachelmedina.com and you're going to find all the pathways to CEO. You can get a sneak peek. There's all the fun things
at
rachelmedina.com.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for coming on, Rachel. I really appreciate this time.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to, I honestly would like to chat a little bit more offline about, you know, the beta testing. But also, ladies and gentlemen, be on the watch as Rachel recruits beta testers. You want to be a part of that. You're a lady who, you know, wants to be a part of this community. You know where to reach her, rachelmedina.com or Rachel Medina 101 on social media.
101 on social media. And don't forget, August 25th, the 11th Annual Women's Leadership Conference taking place in the city of Corona.
It's going to be a big conference. You don't want to miss it. Make sure you get your tickets soon. Do they have like early bird prices for the ticket? Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, I think this month they do. It's like okay. $25 off or something. Yeah.
And it's August 24th, you said?
25th.
August 25th. All right. Don't listen to me directly, but check it out. Make sure you like this video. Share it with someone who needs it. Subscribe to the channel if you're not subscribed. And we will see you guys next time. Peace.